Hello and welcome to Leveraging AI, the podcast that shares practical, ethical ways to leverage AI to improve efficiency, grow your business, and advance your career. This is Isar Metis, your host, and we got a really fun and important show for you today. We all know that creating valuable content and distributing it in a strategic way, meaning the right content on the right platforms at the right time, can drive a lot of value and can drive business growth and leads. The problem in that statement is that generating a lot of high value content in the right format across multiple platforms is really time consuming. Like anything from doing the research on pinpointing the exact target audience to creating multiple formats of the types of content that it will fit the right platform to distributing it across these platforms, scheduling it, and so on. It's just a lot of work. The good news is that using AI and other automation tools can make this entire process significantly shorter and more effective, still achieving the results for which it's done, which is driving leads, creating additional influence, and growing your business. Our guest today, Aaron Steele, is the founder and CEO of Engine, which is spelled E-N-D-G-N, but sounds like a car engine or a growth engine, if you want, is a content lead generation ninja. And what he does is he helps business owners and influencers and content creators to generate 3,000 plus leads every single month by creating this social media posting machine. And so when I saw his stuff and the content that he's posting, I was very excited. And that's why he's here today. Aaron, welcome to Leveraging AI.
In the next few years, AI technology will change our world dramatically. Whether you are a business executive trying to catapult your business forward, or just somebody who refuses to be left behind and want to advance your career, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Isar Metis, a serial entrepreneur and an AI enthusiast. You'll hear invaluable practical tips from innovative business leaders, AI practitioners, and some of the brightest AI minds in our world today on how you can leverage AI in ethical ways to advance your career and grow your business.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And I'll say one more thing. If you didn't pick the accent from the first sentence, he's in Australia. He's a real trooper because it's like after midnight for him and we're recording a podcast episode. So kudos for that.
No worries.
Let's really dive right in. I know there's a very structured process, teach people and help people put in place. Let's just follow your process step by step. If I want to create more content and have it very well targeted to my audience, what are the steps? Let's start in the beginning.
Yeah, sure. So it's been a bit of an iterative process over the last little while about finding the best way to produce and scale that content. So I guess the important thing to note with content is this is AI generated content. Like we're not trying to hide that, but I guess the key difference is that we do a lot of work, I guess you could say pre-production work, and get lots and lots of context and training data to use in order to make sure that the AI content that we produce actually sounds like you and is modeled on best practices on what to post, how to post, and that sort of thing. We've really taken a lot of the guesswork out of that whole process and really just step people through. So what that looks like from a client's perspective is we have, it's very important that we capture the true natural speaking voice of our clients so that it's not just polished writing that they've used ChatGPT to answer questions in a form. It's literally having a conversation like this, whether it's live or like through the use of voice forms where we pre-record the questions and we get them to actually respond like this so that we can actually capture the transcript of how each individual talks, because that's really what will separate, what we believe separates us from other agencies out there which are utilizing content creation through AI, is they're not really, they're focusing more on the technique of producing lots of content as opposed to quality content. And so when you once you go through the quite a lengthy process of answering like really in-depth questions, and my business partner, she is the master of this. Like, I focus more on the technical execution and the distribution side, and she focuses on like the content quality vertical. And so she really spends so much time and effort getting like extracting all the sorts of information out of people so that we have so much rich content to work with when we're actually creating the posts for them. So let's say once we've completed everything, we've gone
may
through.
May I pause
and we've
you
got,
for just 1 second?
Yeah,
what
sure.
kind of questions are being asked? So let's say I want to do this myself and I don't want to hire an agency. What kind of questions are being asked that I can practically ask myself and then answer in a natural voice so I have that information? So what are the kind of questions that you guys are asking in order to, I would say, qualify what is the tone that this person usually speaks at?
Yeah, so we don't have a set question list. It's bespoke to every client that we work with. So we, based on what they have, what we know about them already, we'll guide the questions based on that. But it really dives into like their thoughts, feelings, passions, like what, how they see the world, how they see their business, how they see their customer, what the actual everyday life is of the customer. I can even bring up a few, I'll sanitize them, a few examples of the sort of questions that we ask in a moment. But it's really trying to bring out that conversational tone.
It's basically
asking
people about their business and having them respond about their business, but from a very personal perspective.
Yeah, I would say we mesh the business side of things with also the personal brand side of things as well. So like we don't generally work with really big corporate clients. It's more sort of the small to medium size where there is definitely still a personal brand element to it a lot of the time. And so, yes, we can ask lots of questions about their business, but also we want to know about them as well. So because they're going to be the ones who are posting or are going to be the name and the face on the content, whether or not it's them posting it or not, we want to make sure that it's unique and it's personable and it sounds like them and it's not just going to get lost in a sea of AI generated content. It can be hard to answer what sort of questions because it really depends on each client.
Like, no, but I think I understand. You're talking about personalizing or humanizing the business, right? It's hearing from the person about their passions and about their business through their personal lens. And then you capture that. So you capture that as a transcription of these recordings?
Yeah, okay. So transcribe it. Yeah, so literally word for word transcriptions of what they say. So we're looking for the phrasing, the tone of voice, the way they talk, the vocabulary, we'll like get the AI to intentionally mimic the perhaps incorrect sentence structure that they might use, because everyone talks, it's all jumbled unless you're very good at speaking. Like, we will talk a bit all over the place and using lots of words like that. And we're not saying like we will get the AI to write and all that sort of thing, like filler words, but we want to really capture the unique tone and quality of that person. So it definitely sounds like them, because I'm sure you can as well. It's very easy to spot things that have been written by an untrained GPT-4, let's say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we have a transcription. By the way, which tool do you use to transcribe the meetings or the calls or the...
So we use, got a couple of different things that we're working with. The main one that we use is probably VoiceForm. So that's it's a bespoke tool, not bespoke. It's a tool that is built for that purpose, but they didn't build it for us. But it's, like literally like any other kind of form, but you just click record and you record your responses and it captures the transcript live, and it can also prompt them for additional responses based on what they give you. So it has an AI component, which we're working with them on, to intelligently ask more questions based on what they give us. It's a really cool bit of software that we've hooked up with the last few months, which is pretty exciting. Otherwise, we just use standard Zoom recording or something.
And then transcribe it. And then, okay, so what do you do with the transcription? So what's step two?
Yeah, so step two, we have We've just moved over to Make instead of Zapier.
Okay.
We have a transcription PDF. So everything goes into a giant PDF that we save. So all existing information, we just compile it. Like the transcript is the largest part, but any like website information or anything that we can get, we compile it into a giant PDF. And this is 200-300 pages, this PDF.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like it's not small. And so obviously we need a larger context window for that. So Anthropic Claude is great, as well as Google Gemini, because it has a million.
Yeah, Gemini Pro 1.5. It's on the verge of endless at this point.
Yeah, it's, well, it's definitely not endless, not the way I've used it. But yeah, so we take that PDF and basically I'll attach it to a form, which I'll submit with the client's name, bit of background, here's the form, I submit that. And from there, the Make scenario or automation will use Python to extract the text from the PDF, like the OCR, because we're working with so much text that you can't just dump it into a spreadsheet. There's too many characters. So we have to bypass that limitation by using that PDF. And then, yeah, so we use a bit of Python to extract the text out. And then I've just recently cooked up a way to have conversation history with Anthropic via their API. So at the moment, as far as, yeah, if you're on the web browser and you're using Claude Opus or something, obviously you've got a conversation history. But if you ever want to use it with the API, basically every time you prompt it, it forgets what you've said and you waste a shitload of tokens. Like I've got a massive bill with Anthropic this month because I've been running huge amounts of tokens through it. But we've just, in the last few days, successfully built conversation history into the Claude API interface that we're using, which is just like passing a post request or something.
There's a function within the API to recall history?
No, there isn't.
There isn't.
No,
so how are you doing it?
We're using, I'd have to ask my developer, but LangChain, I think they have a function that we're using to store conversation history. And
it captures, it's like a middleware built on LangChain that captures the history of everything that was said.
Exactly. I'll be honest and say, I don't know exactly how it works.
It's fine. By the way, I don't think I'll get it, and I don't think the audience will either. But it was custom built for you. It's not like a tool I can go and use tomorrow.
No, that's right. Happy. If people are interested, happy for them to get in touch with me. And there's definitely ways that we can make that work for people. And it's interesting. It does keep a conversation summary ongoing as well. And I was debugging with it and was asked it for a conversation summary. And it was basically just whined to me about how the human kept asking for information without providing it. And because I was trying to get like the variable through so that it could read the text and it wasn't working, and it kept, we're being polite, but it keeps asking for the same thing. And it was amusing how it had a bit of a sook to me about it not doing its job. But yeah, and so from there, once we get that conversation history in, which I haven't tested that heaps yet because it's only been the last few days, we then run multiple different scenarios in conjunction. So that'll split off into one prompt, which says, okay, here's the text from the PDF. Here's all the context you need. Here's a very considerable prompt about how to write, say, a LinkedIn post. Here's some templates that we want you to model your response on. And that'll produce a LinkedIn post. Below that, it'll be doing the same thing for, say, an email newsletter based on the content that we've got, and just go through the list of all the different content types, basically, and Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, like we do tweets in there as well. And this is all utilizing the writing style that we've given them, like 200-300 pages of context of. So when you're actually producing these articles and blog posts and Facebook posts, it actually genuinely sounds like them, but you literally can't tell. Like I've even got it to write YouTube video scripts for YouTubers out there. Excuse me. And yeah, you couldn't even tell that it was written by Anthropic, not him, because it was
So I want to pause you just for 1 second, because there's two gaps, at least in my mind, that I want to understand how are you doing.
Yep.
So that 300-page document is basically just reference for whatever AI model, and because it's so long, it probably has to be either, like you said, Claude 3 or Gemini Pro 1.5. For those of you who don't understand what we're talking about, these AI engines have a limitation in the amount of memory they have in each chat or in each API call, if it's on the API side. And it's limited to, it's called tokens, but a token is about 0.7 words. So OpenAI just actually increased theirs to 128,000 tokens in GPT-4 Turbo. That means about 100,000 words. Claude 3 has 200,000 tokens, which is about 150,000 words. So it's just a lot more words. And Gemini 1.5 Pro, which to get to it is not the regular Gemini, but like their backend tool that you can play with. It's like a sandbox to test their new tool. It's not the formal release, but it's available and it's working, is 1 million tokens, which about 750,000 words. So if you want to push a 300-page document through, then you need the larger context window. So that's like on that. But so this is only the reference, right? This is only, this is the style, the tone, the voice. This is how we speak. This, okay. How do you pick the topics, the content you're going to generate? Okay. So I understand now you have the reference on the tone, but what are the actual topics that you generate? And so that's question. Let's start with question number one. How do you decide the topics of the content?
Yeah. So a couple of different ways. For example, I haven't asked for permission to mention his name, so I won't, but there's a fairly well-known YouTuber in the AR space that I'm working with. And we take an extract, every time it'll automatically send the transcription to us, and we use that transcription as the topic. So we've already got the context library of how he talks based on 150 video transcripts. That's a big document. And we've already got the transcript from the most recent video. And we say, hey, here's the existing history of how he sounds. Here's the topic that I want you to talk about. And then we just push that through the rest of the mechanism, and it will create the content based on that video. So that's one way that we do it.
So one option is basically you start with a one type of piece of content and really just use your engine to, pun intended, to repurpose it to all the other different options. And usually, I assume, start with, whether it's that client or another, with a with a video recording, because that can be converted to basically anything
else. Yeah. So there's the ideation stage, which it's an ongoing development, I suppose. So, but you can, like the very early days, the way I had this set up was I would just get ChatGPT to say to it, look, I'm an AI entrepreneur, ask me 10 questions so that I can answer them like I'm on a podcast. And then I just recorded myself, and each of the answers to those 10 questions was a different topic. And that's what I pushed through, and that was the content right there. Now I am a bit more sophisticated than that, but not much. Still using AI a lot of the time to generate content ideas, but using more like hook style titles rather than just a blank title, and it will generate the content based on the hook and the existing content. But before we get to that stage, we also I've got a robot that will every day, based on our context and like it has an understanding of what we do or what the client does, it will generate different keywords, and it will then go and scrape the Google search results, as well as like a variable keyword like opinion or news or whatever. Like there's a few different things that we use, and it will take the contents of the search results that it gets back from those, and then compile keywords and topics from those. So it's an ongoing thing that happens like every day, basically. Then it creates more content, topic ideas, and then it will reflect on that and then provide questions to respond to about those as well. So that's like an ongoing thing that is dynamic, that depends on what we tell it to search for, basically. But yeah, so it's
And is that done through what tools do you use in that process, like for this curation of ideas?
Yeah. So I'm still using Make for that. So I plug in Browse AI, which is just like a web scraping interface. And so they have a whole stack of pre-trained robots, as they call them. And so you can say, oh, I just want to have it like a Google search robot. And you just put in the keywords that you want and tell it how often you want it to go and collect those search results. And it goes and does it. Or you can connect it on Make and it will integrate with the rest of your processes. So I had that scheduled for every day. And then it just pushes the search results through based on what ChatGPT or Claude or whatever we're using in that particular use case tells it to. So yeah, it's pretty handy tool. I'm sure there's ways we could build like a bespoke web scraping application using Python, but I'm happy with this at the moment.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what Make is or what Zapier that was mentioned earlier, these two platforms are probably the biggest, most commonly used automation platforms in the world today. And they're basically the glue between everything on the internet. So you can take data from it's not any platform, but they have literally now tens of thousands of platforms they're already connected to. So you can take data from one source, let's say Google Search, and push it into ChatGPT and then get the output from ChatGPT and put it in Google Sheets and then take the data from Google Sheets and aggregate it and send it to a PDF, like literally anything to anything, your CRM, your email marketing automation tool, like whatever tools you have, most likely are already in there. And you don't need to be a developer to actually make those connections. It's basically telling you the type of data you want to bring, first name, last name, topic, idea, content, like whatever it is you want to pull. And then it knows how to send it correctly between all these different platforms. So it enables people who are not developers to build really cool and sophisticated multi-step automations, like Aaron just mentioned. So you can take the data from, you tell it what to search at what frequency with one platform, you take the content from that, throw it to ChatGPT, it knows how to summarize it, it puts it into a Word document that is saved to a Google Drive that can then trigger something else. So you can build all these things that can dramatically reduce the tedious work that you otherwise would need to do just by copying stuff and moving it around and converting it to different formats.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to make note of, I agree, yes, you don't need to be a developer, but you really don't need to be a developer full stop. And this is still a bit of a controversial opinion, but I've built a lot of stuff with Python and I am definitely not a developer. And it's just by working with multiple language models like ChatGPT and Claude and just saying, this is what I want to do. Like I literally sketched out the diagram. Like I've got background in business analysis and all that, so I'm not completely clueless with how to represent technical ideas, but I sketched out a diagram, like a data relationship model of how I wanted the software to work, and said, gave it to Claude and said, this is what I want. Can you code it up in Python for me? And then got it to walk me through how to host it on my own like device and then put it up into Heroku. And then I got 90% of the way there. And then I said, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. Gave it to a developer who was like, oh, and fixed it. And yeah, so like you can go a long way and the gap between developer and non-developer is getting smaller and smaller, like with these tools.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just like you. I've never written a line of code in my life and I'm doing really cool stuff. Short, like I'm not recreating FIFA 2025 or something like that. But for daily small applications that do stuff that I need, I create code with Claude and ChatGPT regularly. And when it fails, I go back to it and tell it what happened. I'm like, okay, this is what happened. It's giving me error 0361, blah, 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 blah. And then I tell it this. Oh, okay. Try this code instead. And then it's giving me a new piece. And I don't have a clue where the code is good. Like I don't know how to read it, but I'll try. And usually within 4, 5, 6 attempts of back and forth, it will build something that's actually working and doing what I needed to do.
Yeah. And the next iteration of that workflow, though, is agent or agentive workflows, which I've been working with as well. So instead of you or I writing in the going back and forth between the code and the language model, you can set up a big, like a smart, expensive language model like Opus Claude Claude Opus, and giving it the instructions of what you want it to do. And then it passes that task to a smaller developer model, smaller language model, and then they can bounce back off each other until, and they're able to test it. Like you can equip it to test the code, and you can, it can test it and review it and do all that stuff itself, like very fast. And then it will spit back out once it's done the working code that you would have had to have gone back and forth manually. And now it's taking care of that process for you. And it, that applies not just code, but like content and all kinds of things. Like the agentive workflow is the next big thing, I think.
Absolutely.
I'm not the only one who thinks that as well.
No, absolutely. It's going to be probably as big as a jump as ChatGPT was when it first came out, like when real agents will work properly. But let's go back to our thing. I think I threw us on this.
It's all right.
A completely
different.
We can
different, talk about this, eh?
So quick summary. You train the model by giving it a lot of background on how the person talks by literally letting the person talk. So that's step one. Step two, you figure out what is the context. What is the content you want to create, either by content that person is already creating or the company is already creating, or by doing an iterative process with some automation that goes to the internet and looks for specific topics that are relevant to the industry, the target audience, the time, the month of the year, like whatever other information is relevant to your industry and your audience. And then you have the ideas for the content. Then you feed that into all of this together into Claude or GPT 1.5 Pro, and then it spits out multiple pieces of content that are relevant to whatever was created.
Yep.
Can you share the exact prompt you're using in those tools? Can you open it up and say, okay, this is what you do? Because I think it will give people a very good context on the how and not just the what.
Yeah. No, totally. If you give me for just opening my browser up just quickly, I'll read out some of what this looks like.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And the just while I'm doing that, so the process, I've set up an interface, so app.engine.com, so app.engn.com. I've built like a SaaS platform where you can go in there and you can do all that exact process that we just discussed yourself. You can upload your context yourself, your writing style yourself, and you can edit your prompts and edit your writing strategies, templates, everything that we do behind the scenes. And you can connect up your social accounts to it and you can just push content out that way.
And then people just pay like a SaaS fee to use it. Yeah, awesome.
Pay a SaaS, like it's pretty hands off. Like some, the clients that I work quite closely with, I will build a similar kind of workflow for them, but it'll be specifically for them with their own prompts and all that kind of thing. So it's bypass the SaaS part and just hook it straight into their socials. But there's like an approval Kanban board that all the posts land on, which you can go in and just drag it over to approved. Okay, so I've got a make scenario here called blog generator,
I
won't give too many details because this is for a specific client. This is not
just go beep every time there's a name of a person. That would be fine. Or a business.
Yes. So we go, this will generate a 5-day challenge, a blog post, free assets, like a newsletter, a quiz, and social media posts all in one. So the 5-day challenge, let's pull up the prompt for that. All right. You are an expert ghostwriter. Your job is to first conduct an extensive review and analysis of the content of this document, taking care to note the unique style of writing, speaking, turn of phrase, content expertise, and manner of speaking. And then it gives the variable for the PDF. Put that in quotation brackets. Now that you have become the name of the client and understand their style of writing, interests, experiences, and verbal mannerisms, your job is to create a 5-day challenge related to their business aimed at coaches and consultants doing $2 to $5 million in revenue who are at a growth friction point. challenge should educate participants of how lost profits are impacting their business. And so it goes through some pretty context specific stuff about the client. I'll skip through that, but basically, yeah, most importantly, write it exactly how name of client speaks, drawing on their unique story, insights, and way of speaking to build connection and credibility. Make it interesting, exciting, and highly valuable and actionable. The goal is for participants to think, if this is free content, the paid workshop must be amazing. And then in capitals, do not sound like an AI. Do not respond with anything other than a requested text. No preambles, no conclusions, no pleasantries. I do that because AI always has a habit of saying, okay, sure, here's the, I'm like, no, I don't want that. And I don't want the, like, here's the thing that I've just written for you. Like, it always tries to do that. I'm like, no, I don't want that. Like, just give me the text that
give me
I've
the
asked
thing.
For. Yeah. Because it'll find its way into the post otherwise. And it's, you have to then cut it out with a structured text extraction module with GPT. And it's just a pain. So I'm always yelling at it and being mean to the language models, but they're pretty useful.
So question, two questions about this. One, so this is running it on Claude, you said. So this, so
yeah, that's the Claude Opus 3 prompt. Yep.
And the follow-up question, now that I know that it's running on Claude and I know what you're sending, is does it actually do it every time? Like, one of the things that I see, like, I have a lot of GPTs that are running for my business and so on. So it's a similar thing, right? It's a GPT is just a fancy recurring standard prompt, right? That's what it is, with some background information. The problem that I'm running into is that every now and then it will not do exactly what you tell it to do. At least the way I see it on ChatGPT. I've never tried to run something regularly on Claude just because GPTs currently only run on ChatGPT. So do you see it that sometimes it will write that extra stuff or these kind of things?
It's pretty good usually. Like, I haven't encountered too much of that. Like, I do put in place like that agentive workflow as well. So I'll get it to check its own work after this. So that, and I'll say, here's the criteria. Make sure it doesn't have the preamble. Make sure it doesn't do this, doesn't do that, does this. It meets this criteria. And if not, loop it back and get it to do it again.
Oh, so you send the outcome of this through Make to a different conversation.
Yep.
To verify that it's really doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. And that's like, brilliant. I use a less expensive model than Opus.
Yep.
Because... yeah, Opus is not cheap. And yeah, like, I'll get it to loop back on itself a few times if it needs to. Or, and basically there's 8 approval gates. And if it approves it the first time, it goes off and it goes to get scheduled. But it has 8 chances to get it right, basically, before it gets to the very end. If it still can't get it right after 8 sort of pieces of constructive feedback, it still just goes through to the scheduling part and just flags as we couldn't get it right thing. But that hasn't happened. So that's probably just being over-engineered. But
so yeah. I wanna now explain to the people what we're just saying and as far as pricing and so on. So each and every one of these models, when you run them through an API, which is what Aaron is doing, so he's not going and copying stuff into the chat that you usually go to. He's sending it through an API call, which is multiple tools that can do it, or even through Make and Zapier, N8N, like all these tools can talk to the APIs. There's a tool I really like that you may or may not know that is actually pretty cool. That's called OpenRouter. And what OpenRouter enables you to do is just like a hub of all these large language models through APIs. And you can connect just to OpenRouter and then call more or less any large language model through an API. So you have one API connection. And then you can call by name whichever large language model you want to use. The other thing that it shows you the pricing for each one. So to put things in context of what Aaron said, that Claude 3 Opus is very expensive. It's the most expensive tool out there, both in the content that it's getting in. So you're sending it content such as those 300 pages, as well as in content coming out. And again, to put things in perspective, an open source model, a good open source model like Mistral 7B, which is the name of a large language model, costs 12.5 cents for 1 million tokens. So we spoke about what are tokens. So 12.5 cents for 1 million tokens. And Claude 3 Opus is $75 for the same million
US
tokens.
Dollars as well. So it hits us even harder.
So it's just to put things in perspective, that's obviously about what, like 700 times more expensive than running it on Mistral. The quality is there and the context window is there. But like Aaron's saying, there's ways to trick it. If you want to just test the content, you don't have to run it through a $75, 8 million tokens like option. You can run it through cheaper options. And the trick here is always to optimize quality and cost, right? So you want to have the right tools for the right thing that do a good job. It doesn't have to be the best job. It just have to be good enough job to get the job done. In this particular case, good content that drives leads to a business. If you can do that for 12 and a half cents instead of $75, that's a good way to do it. So picking up different steps and running it through different of these lenses in order to get a good outcome is a brilliant way to optimize both for quality and for cost. So kudos.
Yeah.
Great idea.
That's why I'm so excited about getting conversation history working with the Anthropic API as well, because one of the reasons I was getting hit so hard with API costs was because if I'm wanting to generate 10 posts with 300 pages of context for each post, I was getting hit for all the tokens every single time I ran it. Now that I've got a conversation history component, I can just run that context once, and then just like you do on the web browser, just keep hitting the same conversation and it remembers the context and it doesn't need to be reminded or starting a new one every time. So it's significantly cheaper than the way it's set up by default. I'm pretty excited about that, to say the least.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have figured out the tone. We have figured out what the content that we want to create. We have created the content. We check the content. And then you said it goes to scheduling. I assume, again, that's a connection through Make that goes to a scheduling software, whichever one the client uses or that you use. I don't know which one you're using.
I use Metrical because they allow us, basically from an agency perspective, they allow us to connect up to 25 brands on the price point that we're on, which means each brand can connect basically all of their socials. And we've built a little integration so that when we, because everything goes over to Airtable when it's like ready to be published, when an Airtable record or a post gets approved, it will get pushed to a auto list, which I love in Metrical. So I've got Hootsuite as well, but I don't use it anymore because you still had to specify the schedule every time you wanted to post it. Whereas in Metrical, I can just set up predefined times of day, frequency, days of the week, and it'll just act as queues that I can just send 100 posts to, and it will just host them at the predefined times, which is great. It's one less thing I have to think about. So yeah, that's the tool I use. I'm not sponsored by them or anything like that.
I love this kind of advice. This is real life, real people, real use cases. It's the best advice there is.
Yeah. That's the written component of the post. I also have an image component. So LinkedIn, I will collect like 150, 180 roughly, like selfie type images of myself or the client, or they can be more photo shoot type images, and just have those set up in a Google Drive, and I'll just get Make to produce a random number and then like use that number to determine which photo it pulls, and then just post that photo with the post on LinkedIn. And that's a really basic use case for it. But yeah, we also can use tools like CreatorMate, which is like video publishing, which with dynamic text and images and videos. I use that to create like carousel style posts on LinkedIn. And the other one that we use for still images is Switchboard Canvas or switchboard.ai. I'm not sure what they're actually called, but Switchboard AI, I think, is the name of the actual site. But again, that is like dynamic images and text. The way I would use that is I go in and I set up these templates, and you can actually connect Canva within Switchboard AI and do the design in Canva, and then just delete the text out of the design, pull it back into Switchboard, and then like position dynamic text boxes where the original text was. And then you can pull it out from Make, or it doesn't integrate with Make directly, so I'd have to use the API. But in Zapier, you just pull whatever text you want dynamically straight onto the image, and you can do like quotes or whatever. And it's, yeah, it's a really good tool, which doesn't get talked about enough, but it makes the whole image component of socials automatic as well. So yeah, a little bit of a
very, very cool tip. I have a question for you. Did you try using one of the image generators APIs in order to generate images based on the text in the actual post?
Yeah, so
I do this manually now. I've never tried to do it through the API, but I would use, let's say I use ChatGPT to have the whole conversation on a post I want to write or a presentation I want to make. I will ask it for recommendations on what might be a great graphics for this kind of audience with this exact post. And then it gives me three ideas. I'm like, oh, I like number two, go create it. Or I like number two, but I want to add this and that. And it will go and create the image for me. So did you try that like at scale through the API?
Yep. So I've got two ways that I do that. So the LinkedIn way that I do it, or not, it doesn't have to be LinkedIn, but I was trying to be a bit less creative on LinkedIn, but I am just connected to the Unsplash API, which is like a stock images site, and would get like GPT 3.5 to do a quick summary, get it to review the post that was written and just say, I need you to spit out five keywords. And then I would just pass those keywords through to Unsplash, get it to select a random page so I don't get the same image every time, and then just pull that stock image based on the content of the post.
Got it. So it's using stock photos and you're not generating AI images on the fly per post.
I've done both. So yeah, I use DALL-E a little bit, but I think I've moved over to Midjourney and playing around with Stable Diffusion as well. But yeah, same kind of thing, using the content to generate posts. And then I just have a retry function where if I don't like what it's come up with, I just click a button or drag it into the retry column or something, and it'll get rid of the picture and come and do another one. Yeah, I've done multiple different ways to generate those images. I guess it depends on what the clients are looking for. I think people are still a bit scared of doing AI images, but like Midjourney version 6, you basically can't tell anymore that it's AI.
It's incredible. I want to summarize quickly because you just mentioned a word that makes a lot of sense to me, and you mentioned it before, and I want to add a little more context about it, about the Kanban board and the columns. So what reading between the lines of what you're saying, there's a Kanban board that really shows the human operator what's happening in the process that all these AIs are doing in the back end. And I assume that some of the process is done through Make that can move items from one column to the other. And some is a human in the loop, like confirmation phase, that's saying, oh yeah, this image is awesome for this, move forward. Or this is shit, go get me another image, because it doesn't make any sense having a rabbit when I'm talking about a business or whatever, something. And then we'll go and get a different image, and then you can get your view again. So I think the beyond every magic in each and every one of your steps, which I really find magical, I think the also building a framework that allows for human intervention in those different steps while you can still monitor what's happening and sending backwards or forward is really important, because these models, as good as they are, and they're getting better and they're amazing, and probably 9 times out of 10, you don't have to do anything. The 1 time out of 10 may make you look like an idiot in front of your audience, which you may not want. And or maybe not 1 out of 10, but maybe 1 out of 30, but it doesn't matter. If you're posting once a day, that's once a month. You're going to look like an idiot. And so having that human monitoring option, which is I think using a Kanban board is brilliant because it makes it very easy. You just look at this column and you see the final product and saying, oh, this makes sense. Move forward. That's it. It takes you 3 seconds to monitor every single post. And then the machine keeps on working and doing its thing.
Well, I think Aaron, this was amazing.
I'll let you, if you have any summary, anything you want to add, anything else we need to know about this process that you didn't share yet.
So I guess the other element of what we do is once we've got all the content set up, we then will basically facilitate and automate the whole sales process as well. So once you've got the content that is attracting leads and traffic via SEO and social media, we also can integrate chatbots into emails and Messenger and all that kind of thing to facilitate the sales process and make sure all the leads are being followed up on and nurtured, and using agents to book in sales calls for people and all that. So basically, to give you a real life example, like I'm working with a law firm where everything's very manual for them at the moment, and we're working with them to automate everything up until the point where the client walks in the door for the meeting that's already been booked. It's no longer going to be a case of them having to respond to emails and pick up the phone and respond to Facebook Messenger and respond to everything, and client pieces go missing and forms don't come in, and that's all going to get completely taken care of. And they still have the opportunity to intervene if they want to, but AI will use their knowledge of the legal firm that we're working with to respond to questions, taking care to not give legal advice, but facilitate the whole process so that the partners can focus on the value added task, which is actually the real human interaction when the client walks in the door. So that's like the engine, like it is very much about that whole process. Like we want to make everything as smooth and easy as possible for people. It's a pretty holistic package.
Amazing. Aaron, this was absolutely fantastic. Like really what you built is incredible. And it's definitely the way of the future, right? Like I think every business will eventually move to work like this. You're just providing it now versus sometime in the future. And you're providing it as a SaaS already built, ready to go solution, which I think is amazing. If people want to follow you, learn from you, work with you, what are the best ways to do that?
Yeah, probably finding me on LinkedIn is probably the best way to do that. So my LinkedIn profile is just Aaron J. Steele. I haven't posted on there for a little while, like contrary to what you might think, I've just basically had some personal stuff going on, which I've prioritized instead. And I've been busy building a lot of things here. And if you're interested in the Engine SaaS application, you can go and sign up for a free account. It's just app.endgn.com. And yeah, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to have a chat.
Awesome. This was great. Thank you so much. Have a good night. And I appreciate you taking the time and sharing all this amazing information with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.